Hey, drama listeners, Connor here. Before we dive into our very last, very special episode of our Pride series, I want to let you all know that we are doing a merchandise giveaway. Oh my God. In addition to our weekly Wednesday episodes, Dylan and I have a bonus content platform over on patreon.com/thedramapodcast. So we've got 40 plus bonus episodes, interviews, content, and you get access to our Instagram close friends, all for the very cheap amount of $5 a month. It's a steal, honestly, in this economy. Come on. So the giveaway involves this. For the first three new patrons who sign up, we will send you an item of your choosing from our Summer of Drama merchandise series. That's right. You can spend $5, get every Patreon perk, and either a koozie or tumbler. It's a summer must have. I mean, come on. Spend your summer with drama by heading over to patreon.com/thedramapodcast to join the Patreon fam and get your merch. All right, on to the show.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life
in New York City
and the world.
Dylan, I almost just forgot everything I was supposed to say. I don't know if it's but my brain wasn't.
No, it's because we recorded a bonus episode for Patreon beforehand, and that has a different intro. Only those who are on that platform know.
Yes.
But of course, everyone should be on there.
And if you're not on the Patreon, you're only getting half the story, right? Mm-hmm.
That's what they say
on our podcast and also on Drag Race. But Dylan, we've reached the end of Pride Month. Sadly, it has come and gone.
I know. At least at the point that this is coming out, it's the end of Pride Month.
Right. We somehow
need to muster the strength to make it through the rest of it.
I don't know how. You know what'll help me actually is that by the time this comes out, RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars season 6 will be out. And I'm actually ready.
I know. Well, I think you're ready now because the aforementioned bonus platform, Patreon, we're releasing an episode where we kind of do a little rundown on who's going to be on the season.
Oh, true. You know what? You're right. I got so.
And that got you excited. I could see it in your eyes. You were like, too much Drag Race. And then you were like, no, wait, I'm excited.
I know. Oh my God. And we predict a final four. So you're going to want to go and subscribe and listen because it's for Patreon listeners only. But anyway, Dylan, we have a really special guest today. Somebody who's their experiences are a little bit different. And that's what I'm obsessed with because when we got in touch a while ago, we were like, wait, let's wait till Pride Month because I knew that they would bring a fresh perspective that isn't often brought to the pod, right?
I'm gonna say a word about this person, Trailblazer.
Yes.
And I think that I'm gonna read an intro and introduce our guest to him because he is amazing. And he first came into my life on my favorite podcast, Race Chaser, on their Hot Goss episode with Willem in Alaska. And I was immediately just like, first of all, blown away by him, but also by the banter between him and Willem in particular. And I remember saying to Connor, I was like, you need to listen because this is like how you do an interview.
I know. And I was, and you know what, Dylan, I listened. Do you remember this?
I was like,
okay, he's got a really hot voice. That was like one of my big takeaways, which he probably gets all the time. And then like a week later, we're in each other's DMs.
I know.
Just out of the blue. So anyway, please welcome him with this fabulous intro that you wrote. Okay.
Our guest today is here to tackle our Pride celebrations. He's the first openly gay Major League Rugby player pro, having come out in late 2020, blitzing the sports world with his brave and candid story. Before changing the game, our guest grew up in Boston, Massachusetts, where he went on to play for the Major League Rugby team, the New England Free Jacks, in their 2019 exhibition season. His time on Team USA at the 2017 World Maccabiah Games in Israel won him a gold medal. His winning streak continued in 2018 as he clinched the 2018 D1 National Championship with the Mystic River Rugby Club, his club team. This athlete has coached in New Zealand, his alma mater, and the Northeast Academy, utilizing his degree in sport management and education from the University of Massachusetts Amherst. He's been featured in Attitude Magazine, countless podcasts, including Race Chasers Hot Goss with Willem in Alaska, Pink News, and so much more since his public coming out. He was named the Global Ambassador for International Gay Rugby in May 2021, and is an activist, having recently raised over $8,000 for the Transgender Law Center. Please welcome to Drama, Devin Ibanez.
Thank you guys so much for having me. That was an incredible intro, I must say. That was top level of hype. And also, it's funny you guys mentioned that I was good on the Race Chaser interview, because I was terrified. I like was fully shaking. Do you know when you do that thing where you're on an interview and you're like smiling, but you start smiling so much that your face starts twitching? That was me the entire interview.
They loved you.
They loved you. And I think, you know, all the listeners fell in love too, because you were so like chill. I don't know. It just went so well. Chill in a fun way. Yeah,
chill is not how I would have described myself during that interview. But well, also fun fact with that is I didn't know that they were going to be like there on Zoom. I wasn't sure if it was just going to be like an audio thing. So I like click on and they're just like there and my camera is off and I'm just like, oh, I guess I'm going to be face to face with them now. And I was just like, imagine also being like nervous about talking to two of your favorite drag queens, and then they also ask you to do a sports segment to a group of people who do not give a shit about what happened in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was like this fun segment where you were like translating the Super Bowl for perhaps mostly a queer listenership. And what I did love though is you threw in fun facts though about like Gronk and things like that that maybe the untrained ear wouldn't know.
Wait, what is a Gronk? I'm just kidding.
He's hot.
He is hot. He's like a celeb football player, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He is. He's very well known.
He played like an odd role on one of the seasons of Big Brother. Are you familiar with that show, Devin?
I am familiar with Big Brother, but I haven't seen that season. He was also on The Masked Singer, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, no, he was.
I wonder how he did. I need to look that up.
I don't think he was fantastic.
I all of a sudden care. You don't think so? I'm all of a sudden very passionate about Gronk's career. I don't know what's going on. But I want to dive into like Drag Race and your queer experience and just like everything there is to know about you. But before we do, I want to ask you, Devin, are you well?
I am very well-ish. I was talking to you guys before the podcast, but it was a very good day, but it was just one of those days where I just spent way too much time in the sun. So it's like my face is hot. I've got a nice little like back of the head kind of a headache, you know, one of those nice ones. But honestly, you guys have lifted it straight away. I'm feeling so much better already. So I'm excited to be talking to you too.
Oh, I love to hear it. That's so sweet. So now where are you right now? Just for the listener's sake.
I'm in the exotic country of Wales, up in North Wales, in the country, in a town known as Rhyl, which one of my favorite things about Rhyl is that all the towns around it are nicer than Rhyl. So it's really exciting every time you leave the town and go see what's next to it.
And why are you in Wales?
So my partner is based in London, and I'm usually based in Boston, Massachusetts. So I'm actually over here because 2 months ago, I basically told my job, you're not going to see me for a little while. And then I came over here to spend 2 months with him because we've been apart for the pandemic. And we've also been apart since I, you know, came out at the end of 2020. So needed to get some quality time in together. And so I've been here for 2 months. And unfortunately, I do have to go home on Sunday.
Oh, no. Okay, wait. So I was telling you also before that I've been deep diving into your life for the last few weeks. But for our listeners, they maybe aren't too familiar with your story, but I think it's really interesting. And I also think it's interesting to talk about during Pride Month, because I, for one, am very into coming out stories. I never get tired of them. And do you mind giving us like a quick summary of the past 6 months of your life, of what happened in December leading you up to appearing on Drama with Connor and Dylan McDowell?
Ooh, so the post coming out rundown. It was really just like crazy and surreal. Like I made a coming out post on my personal Facebook page. A lot of people think it was on Instagram because that's where it kind of took off. But actually it was just something that I put out to, you know, like all the people I've met over the years with rugby and, you know, high school, college. And I just put it on there. And Fergus had actually created my Instagram for me like months prior as a way to like just say, here, you should use this for rugby because you haven't been able to play this year. You know, it would be great if you could put pictures and like videos of you playing. It would make you feel better about missing the game. And when I came out, he was like, this would be a perfect first post for your Instagram. Like, we should take a few pictures, put it up on there. And I was like, you know what, that sounds like a great idea. And from there, like, I didn't even have an Instagram really before it. If you do a really deep dive, you'll see I do have an Instagram, but I made like 4 posts on it in like 2011 of like a fountain in Philadelphia with like a bad filter on it. It is private now. It's all private now, but I didn't have any experience with it whatsoever. So it just blew up into this thing where I all of a sudden had these like a few thousand followers in just a couple of days. And I didn't really know what to do with it. And now I was getting all these crazy interviews. And, you know, I ended up getting the Attitude magazine feature. Willem was actually one of those first people who had kind of like commented on the post. And there was a funny piece about that because literally the same night that Willem commented, right before Fergus went to bed, we were doing the whole joking of like, oh, like you're famous now, Devin. Like, look at all these people who have looked at your post. And I was like, I'm not going to feel like I've made it until one of my favorite drag queens like follows me or comments on my page. And literally like later that night, Willem comments and then I DM Willem just like fangirling, and then Willem offers to bring me on the pod, and I was just like over the moon. I literally didn't go to sleep until like 4 a.m. because I was just so wired up.
This is Dylan's dream, what you're describing.
That is my literal dream. That is so fun. I wondered how you ended up on Race Chaser. That is so cool. Willem is so amazing. I actually recently read Willem's book. I don't know if you've ever read it before. It's from a while ago. It's kind of like a how-to guide to like suck less is basically what it's called, like not suck. And it was genius and hilarious. But like I said, the dynamic between the two of you on that episode was so good. Were they both in drag when you did it?
So they were both supposed to be in drag.
Okay.
But this, the inside scoop was that Willem was not in drag, but Alaska was in full drag, looking absolutely flawless. I think maybe had mixed up the dates on that one a little bit.
Okay, so you come out on Facebook, the world catches fire. The Attitude magazine shoot is so gorgeous. It is like truly like those photos. I would use those photos for the rest of my life, like in every profile picture on every social media site I have.
Literally.
So far, that has pretty much been what's happened. I've used it for like every article. But then also imagine like the stress of like also before coming out, I was a very relatively like private person. Like I didn't really like post a lot of pictures, pose for a lot of pictures. And now imagine you're coming out of like a year-long quarantine where you're not feeling at your best physically. And they're like, we want to do a quick turnaround on this. Let's do like a full shoot. Are you comfortable being shirtless in 2 weeks? Fully cut out carbs. Uh-huh. No more carbs for 2 weeks. Start going to the gym, trying to get ready. I was so stressed before that photo shoot, but it was just like an awesome experience. And yeah, I was really happy with how it turned out.
I mean, at this point, you're one of the most famous openly gay professional athletes in the world, and you're definitely paving the way for other young athletes who may or may not already be out to fully embrace themselves, especially in a sports setting, which I suppose, I mean, you would know better than I would, isn't necessarily the most queer-friendly space for most, you know?
Yeah, and definitely rugby, which has this very like masculine kind of a culture. I think it's a bit of a stretch to say I'm one of the most famous. I still feel very much just kind of like a very normal person, but who knows? Maybe someday I'll be up there. But yeah, I think that over the years with rugby, I really didn't just feel like comfortable coming out because I didn't really have anybody else in the sport who was playing at a high level who was like openly gay. And you also still ran into a lot of things where like coaches would just like casually drop homophobic comments and make homophobic jokes. And the punchline was always just kind of like, oh, being gay, like, haha, that's funny, right? And I think that, you know, I don't know what your guys' experiences was like with coming out and, you know, when you guys decided to do it. But for me, I was always looking for a reason to not come out, right? And when you're trying to find those things of like, where you're already questioning everything and you're picturing the worst case scenario. And then you hear people talking like that. It doesn't really make you feel like, oh, now's the time I'm going to come out and it's all going to be okay.
Yeah, no, that's so fair. I mean, I remember thinking, oh, well, I wouldn't want to come out while my grandma's alive because she's uber religious and I wouldn't want her to like not love me anymore, you know, things like that. And of course, she was one of the first people that found out, like was told by my mom. But also Connor and I came out to each other first before we came out to everyone else. Aww. So we were lucky that we had someone else, you know. But I'm curious too, because I know that your public coming out was more, I mean, I guess more recent, but you'd come out privately to your family, right? Like a long time ago.
Yeah, like a very long time ago. I had been saying in interviews that I came out when I was 12, and my mom fact checked me, and she's like, "No, you were actually 11, Devin." And I was like, "Oh, I guess wow. I guess I was 11."
That's young. That's awesome.
That is really young to come out.
Yeah, my parents were always just very like extremely supportive to the point where like I didn't even really understand what they were saying or supporting, but like they always would grow up just telling me like, you know, no matter who you love, like we're always going to love you. And I just, those are some of my like earliest memories of me being like 4 years old being like, I don't know what that means, but like leave me alone, mom. And when the time came where I figured it out, I didn't hesitate. I was, you know, very happy to tell them, even though it was obviously nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Was there like, what was the impetus for coming out at 11? If you don't mind sharing, was there like did you have a crush on someone at school or something? And you just wanted to tell your parents or?
I think I definitely had a few crushes. There was actually a very like specific person who kind of helped me realize it. I had met somebody at the school I was going to who was like quite a few years older than me. I went to like a weird alternative school for a few years where there was like age mixing. So I was like 11 and he was like 15. That's a whole other story about that school. Yeah. But yeah, he was amazing. His name was actually Tom Solo, and now he actually is like a shoe designer, and he's done shoes for like Demi Lovato and Lady Gaga. But at the time, he was the only like out person that I knew. And he just kind of helped me realize that I was having a lot of the same feelings that he was having and kind of interested in some of the same people at the school that he was.
Oh, that's so cute. I love that. And shout out to Tom for being like a kinky boots type person, making shoes for fabulous people in the world.
So you were obviously out personally when you met Fergus. When did you guys meet?
So we met while he was doing research in Boston. And he hates when I tell this detail, so I'm going to make sure that I tell it every time. Is that he was in Boston doing research at Harvard Labs doing sleep deprivation studies on fruit flies. And that was actually one of the details in the article that like first came out when I came out. And everybody was just latching on to that one detail, being like, is sleep deprivation on fruit flies a thing? Like, what?
That sounds like a Mad Libs, like you truly just picked the most random couple of things and put it together.
I've never wondered if they have it, but now I need to get Fergus on the pod to ask him if what he found, because I need to know.
He will gladly be on, although he will be resentful that I put him into a podcast where he has to talk about flies.
So obviously you were in Boston. How did the two of you meet? Was it like through an app or like at a club or?
Was it at Club Cafe?
No, it was on an app, and the app shall remain nameless because we're holding out to see which one offers us a nice sponsorship. No, just kidding.
Gotta respect the hustle.
We
gotta respect
did meet. We did meet on an app, and yeah, we just started talking through that, and then we organized a date and hit it off really well. And we ended up seeing each other for, I think it was around 9 months or so while he was in Boston. Like I think maybe a month after we met, we started like officially dating, and now it's been about 3.5 years or so.
Oh my God, congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a long time.
And then how much of it was long distance beyond that?
Yeah, so I was going to mention that. So it's been 3.5 years, but about 2.5 of that has been long distance. And you know, one of those years was during the pandemic, obviously, which wasn't exactly a easy test for the relationship, but that's one of those kinds of things that led to me coming out, was because we were doing, you know, having such a difficult time being apart, that was just one small thing, you know, to me was a smallish thing that I could do that would make us immediately feel better, was something that I had control over, that I could just come out and, you know, basically write sort of an open love letter to him, appreciating him for being there all those years.
That's so cute.
That is so precious. And you too, the pictures, we'll obviously share photos of the two of you when this episode comes out, but you two are so cute together, and the smiles on your faces are just contagious. Can I still say contagious in a pandemic world? Anyways.
Dylan.
I don't know.
I love it. I'm so glad that you guys have been able to spend time together for the last couple months.
I know that struggle. My boyfriend and I were long distance for like pretty much for 5 years. So, and now we finally live together. So it's like truly the best time right now. It's just like not having to like text each other good night. We can actually just say it to each other. You know, it's such a different world.
Yeah, we're working towards that right now. Hopefully soon. He's actually going to be coming over to the US in the fall, ideally, to do some more research, taking a year off of medical school. So hopefully we're going to be together for a year for that. So that would be awesome. So, you know, fingers crossed, we'll be able to have much more time together in the future.
I hope so.
Yeah. I'm glad you guys have been able to spend Pride Month together. Although, is it Pride Month around the world in June? I'm all of a sudden realizing I don't know.
It is. It's a global thing, which is, yeah, it is kind of weird because it's like different places celebrate different times. But yeah, it's fully Pride Month anywhere you go, basically. Even saw a couple Pride flags up here in Wales, so we were happy to see that.
Oh, that's cute.
Okay, so we do like to ask all of our guests about their Ring of Keys moment. And usually it's about, you know, pertaining to a life in the arts. But we've had guests before where we asked some sort of about how it pertains to just when they discovered their passion. Mm-hmm. So I'll ask you, Devin, do you feel like you have a Ring of Keys moment where you realized what you're passionate about, whether it be sports or otherwise?
So this is something that you obviously get asked quite a bit when you're talking about like a coming out journey of like, you know, what sparked your coming out journey and things like that. And if I'm thinking about just rugby, I think it's really hard for me to pinpoint because I always loved sports and rugby. Honestly, my Ring of Keys was just the fact that I was decent at it. I was like, I'm gonna stick with this because I want to be good at something. But one that I was thinking about is, you know, not one that I've ever actually really talked about publicly. The very first time that I ever actually had this idea that like maybe I could come out and maybe that could be something that would, you know, not only mean a lot to me and my partner, but maybe that would really inspire other people and, you know, have an impact, was actually the night after we won the 2018 national championship. So it was one of those nights where it was like a crazy party, right? And everybody's obviously going nuts. We're all setting the town on fire, essentially, because we just won. And we'd actually only won by 1 point as well. So it was just like crazy victory. And
nail biter.
Very much so a nail biter. And actually, a few days, or maybe a week before the national championship, I had gone, because we had a week off, we had gone on the weekend to P-Town. And I went there with my partner, who was Fergus at the time, of course. And we were walking down the street in P-Town. We were there with a couple of his friends. And as I'm walking, coming the other direction, who is it but the captain of my rugby team, Mystic River. And I wasn't out in rugby at that time. You know, I was still really only out to close friends and my family. And I see him, and obviously I'm a little bit like awkward and kind of uncomfortable, but I'm also like, I'm not just going to like shove Fergus into the alleyway and be like, hey, what are you doing? So I did very much. I just like went up to him and was just like, hey. And I was just like, you know, he was there with his girlfriend. I was like, hey, this is my partner, Fergus, and all that stuff. And, you know, talked to him a little bit away from Fergus. Like, it still didn't really like bring Fergus into the conversation, but just was very much like, you know, this is Fergus. And later that day, we had this conversation about, you know, where he was still kind of like hurt because he's like, you know, he still doesn't feel like we could fully share our relationship and was starting to wonder, like, you know, when will we be able to do that? And is that something, you know, is it because you're ashamed of me or is it because, you know, you just don't feel comfortable sharing that? So fast forward, we win the national championship and we're all kind of sitting there and celebrating. And I'd had this kind of idea, maybe I could come out the national championship. But then same thing as, you know, as you, Dylan, or I'm just like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to distract. You know, you always find an excuse. I don't want to distract the team. It's not about me. And we're sitting around at like a campfire, basically, after the national championship. And, you know, everyone's drunk. I'm not much of a drinker, so I'm pretty much dead sober. And my coach is just sort of talking about how much it really gets on his nerve that there's so much ego on among players who are amateurs. And he's just like, you know, what I don't understand is amateur rugby players, like, you are all a dime a dozen. Like, you are going to go through your career, you can be an incredibly successful amateur rugby player, and it's not going to mean anything to anybody besides yourself. He's like, you could be one of the best there is in the world, it's not really going to matter. And when he said that, I realized, like, it is very much true, right? That rugby career is for you, and it's not really for anybody else. But then for me, I realized, well, I actually could do something really unique and something really impactful that, like, I could look back and be proud on, that's not just like being a really good rugby player. So I think that was the first time where it really, really clicked with me that this could be something. Maybe I just won Division I national championship. Maybe I could push to be a professional and do something that nobody else has done. So I think that was like a really big spark moment for me.
I love that story so much. It's truly like a sequence of events. And that's what I think makes like the Ring of Keys moment so special, is that you can really pinpoint this to this, to this, to this. I'm curious about your encounter with the captain of your team. What was his reaction when you explained who Fergus was?
He was great. I mean, I also am very fortunate to be like, you know, in Boston, Massachusetts in the Northeast. And also like he's in P-Town. So I don't think you can necessarily be there for a weekend if you're not like pretty okay with being around the LGBTQ community and like being supportive of that. So yeah, he was great. And I mean, you know, I think obviously I was a little bit surprised at first because it was just like a very, like we weren't expecting to see each other, let alone for him to be introduced to my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But no, he actually like, we had a really brief conversation, but then after I like, you know, kind of went my separate ways, he like texted me and was like, hey, me and my girlfriend are like having drinks at this place. If you and Fergus want to come and like join us for a bit. We had other stuff going on, so we didn't go and join them. But like, yeah, he was really cool about it. And, you know, I never said to him like, oh, don't tell anybody, like, this is just something. But I don't think he ever really went and said anything about it. I think he just wanted me to feel like it was normal and it was okay.
Wow. I love when people surprise you in that way. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of people have come out to me or they've talked to me about coming out and stuff. And I'll say to them, you know what? You actually never know what someone's reaction is going to be when you come out to them. And if you're lucky, they'll be happy. You know, maybe you'll be surprised. It's because I was surprised too by a lot of reactions when I came out, in a good way. And unfortunately in some bad ways too, but you know what I mean? So I'm obsessed with that story. I love it.
I'm glad you like it. Maybe I should start telling it a little bit more because usually I focus on some other parts of the sequence, but no, it's the first time I've actually told that story. So I'm glad you guys liked it. But it's funny you say that about being surprised by people's reactions, because I actually lived with my best friend Roman in two different countries playing rugby. So I lived with him in Australia and I lived with him in New Zealand, and was completely in the closet in Australia. And he came to fly to New Zealand to live with me. And when he got there, when I went to pick him up from the airport, I was like, I'm just going to tell him. I'm like, we're going to be living with each other for like another year. I'm like, I'm just going to get it over with and tell him, because I know he's my best friend. He probably won't really care, but he's like a very masculine kind of guy. He's got a massive beard, huge dreadlocks. He's very much like the straight kind of a guy. And we're driving up from the airport and I just tell him, I'm just like, hey, you know, just so you know, at the time I came out to him as like, you know, bisexual. I was like, basically like, you know, I'm also into guys basically. And when I told him that I was bisexual, he was like, oh, so you finally started hooking up with girls. And that was just like, even though it's one of the things, it's like, all right, it's kind of like a crass thing to say to somebody. It was just him. It was just his way of just being like,
yes,
I don't care. Like, it's not a thing to me.
That's so funny. I remember when I came out to one of my like more straight friends, Cody is his name. And we came out in a car when we told him, and that we were living together for that summer. And I remember when we like parked and we were going inside, he had been like drinking and he had to pee. And he was like, look, I'm peeing in front of you guys. I don't care that you're gay. Like, it's okay. You know what I mean? And that was one of those moments too, where I was like, oh, that's like so cute that this is how he's equating comfortability and acceptance, that like he'll still pee while I'm standing 5 feet away. You know what I mean? So
just goes to say, you don't have to always say the right thing.
Exactly.
As long as you're just saying the right thing in terms of the right intent. Sometimes, sometimes the right intent is okay.
I am curious just about what life has been like in the UK, because I know that COVID and vaccines and different things like that have sort of been different. Like, it's open, it's closed, like things have really changed, but you've gotten to at least do some fun things, it seems. How have things been for you?
It's been great. And yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting to be able to play rugby, and like, I got to play like quite a few games this season, which I was really happy about. And yeah, I got to go and I did a talk at a school outside of Brighton in the UK that was really cool. And honestly, what I spent a lot of my time on was, because, you know, Fergus was obviously still in medical school, so he's out during most of the weekdays. And I really just put a lot of time into doing the fundraising stuff and just kind of like, it was a really full, like much more intensive than I would have expected. Just like emailing people all day and just like DMing people and begging them, just being like, would you please like share this for me? It's a good cause. And just like doing that, just like a full-time job. But yeah, it's been great to kind of just get away from my usual routine and also just like put more time into you know, trying to spread my story a little bit more, trying to get more into doing public speaking. And, you know, it's been a really valuable time. And obviously me and Fergus got to do a lot of traveling. You know, we got to go to Oxford and things like that. We're both fully vaccinated. So, you know, we were able to kind of travel safely and not be too concerned about that. So yeah, it's been awesome. And as I mentioned also, we got to see Death Drop, which was nice experience getting to see that live.
Yeah, so you're not a huge theater guy, you said, but you do appreciate it, right?
I'm just not a huge theater guy in the sense that like I haven't gone to see it a lot, but like I really do enjoy it. And Fergus is like a massive theater guy, like does musical theater himself. Aww. Like is absolutely huge into it. So he's taken me to quite a few over the years. He took me to Book of Mormon when they were touring Boston, which was like awesome. Really love Book of Mormon. Mm-hmm. We've seen everybody's talking about Jamie twice on the West End.
Oh, I'm so jealous. The movie trailer looks great. I really want to see the stage show.
Oh my God, I can't wait to see the movie. I like absolutely love that show. And we want to see Leighton Williams because it ended up just being like one of the understudies who was doing the role. And Fergus was just like so disappointed, not because the understudy was bad, but just because he was like, the big reason I took you to the show is because like, I think Leighton Williams is one of the most like incredible performers I've ever seen. And then when we did go back to see it, I was like, okay, I can see why you were a bit disappointed. He is amazing.
Now, did you see it with any of, because I know they had a bunch of different celebs stepping in and out. Was Bianca Del Rio in it when you saw it?
Oh, I just missed Bianca by like literally, I think like a few weeks. I missed Bianca, but I did get to see pre-Drag Race UK Vinegar living her best life.
Oh my God, I forgot that she did that. That's right.
Yeah. She was on it since the original cast, actually. So she'd been doing it for ages. Yeah, really one of my favorite shows. Like I really, really enjoyed that.
Another show with like a beautiful story. Wait, so how was Death Drop? Is it a parody play of like a murder mystery or something like that that has drag queens in it?
Yeah, it's very much like a parody play, like drag show kind of brought to the West End kind of vibes. Like it's a fun show and it's just like, yeah, they have like really like over the top characters. Like for example, all the roles of women are played by men and all the roles of men are played by women. So it's like very much like that gender swap vibe. So like one of the really funny characters in the show is like basically a drag king character called Rich Whiteman. So like it's very much just like very silly kind of like stupid humor and they're just all having a lot of fun with it. But like Willem was awesome. Like Willem was showing off the voice, living their best life.
Yes, I heard that she sings in the show. That's so fun.
Yeah.
How was Latrice?
Latrice was good too, but I think that doesn't exactly have the same vocal chops as Willem does. But, you know, I'm not going to hate on the queens. I'm not a theater expert. You know, I thought that Latrice was incredible. But yeah, if we're comparing just like the vocals and stuff, like Willem was definitely a step above.
Of course. Well, she's got her music career too, so.
Exactly.
Oh my God, I love it.
So you started to talk about the fundraiser that you were doing, and that's taken up a lot of your time. And I think Dylan mentioned you raised over $8,000, right?
Yeah.
For the Transgender Law Center?
Yeah, in the end, we raised just over $8,500, actually, which was awesome because we had originally set out just to raise $5,000 over 4 weeks. And like we managed to raise even more than that. So yeah, we were really happy with that, especially because, you know, they're a trans-led organization and they're actually the biggest trans-led organization in the US. And I think that one of the things you see is that corporations are completely unwilling to donate to trans-specific causes, mm-hmm. even if it's during Pride Month. So, you know, to be able to raise a decent chunk of money for them was awesome because I think it really just showed the power of, you know, the community just coming together, and individual donations can obviously lead to a very big, you know, I think an impactful amount in the end. I was really happy with how it turned out.
Congrats. That's awesome. So massive. I mean, I think that right now, like the spotlight should absolutely be turned on anything regarding trans people, because the persecution and just the exclusion has been so much lately. I mean, there's so many bills even going through like Congress and the Senate right now that are prohibiting trans people from having just basic rights. It makes me feel sick and sad, especially during Pride Month.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely heartbreaking. I think the number is over 130 anti-trans pieces of legislation mm-hmm. have been introduced this year. So, you know, seeing that, and, you know, I'd originally mentioned on the Race Chaser podcast, you guys listened, but for those who didn't, I'd mentioned about a world rugby ban where they'd banned trans women from international competition mm-hmm. just last year. And unfortunately, there wasn't really anything I could do for that. They weren't going to be voting on it anytime soon, other than raising awareness. There wasn't any like direct cause I could give to. So I actually got approached by the artist Richie Lopez, who I partnered with for the fundraiser, off of that Race Chaser episode. Oh, wow. He was a fan of the podcast and listened, and we had already followed each other and was like, hey, I heard you mention this. Would you want to like partner up and raise money for, you know, this cause? And I was like, well, same thing. There isn't really anything we could do for that. But there's this more pressing issue where now they're trying to block healthcare and trying to block, you know, kids from playing sports. So like, maybe we can try to find an organization impacting that. And that's how we came across Trans Law Center.
Wow.
Well, thank you for the work you've done. It's criminal what they're doing to trans people, children. You know, it's sick. So is the fundraiser over? Can people still donate?
It is still over, but obviously Trans Law Center is not going to be turning away any donations. Yeah. So you can definitely go and donate to the Trans Law Center. And yeah, that would be amazing, because actually earlier this year, they put out a call to help raise $100,000 because of, you know, just such an increase in demand for their services, because they provide, you know, legal advocacy to trans people, either be it in, you know, the schools or the workplace. And then they also have all these awesome like community programs where they basically empower trans people and give them the, you know, resources to tell their stories and try to, you know, give them more visibility so that they can just sort of put a face on the fact that this is a human issue that is affecting real people. It's not just, you know, something that you can slap onto a Senate floor and it's not really going to impact anybody. Like, it has devastating right. effects.
Well, thanks for all the work you're doing. This is like, it goes back to that night around the campfire, thinking about how you can make an impact. There's different ways that I'm sure you never even imagined when you made the decision to publicly come out that you'd be able to change lives and impact the world. So thank you, Devin. It's really awesome.
Oh, no, honestly, it's my pleasure. I mean, like I said, a year ago, I was just another, you know, amateur rugby player who, you know, nobody really knew who I was. And I signed that contract and, you know, went on to do this. And to be able to even do anything like this, like, is honestly just an honor for me. I was just really happy. You know, when people are like, oh, you know, thank you for using your platform for this, I'm like, why wouldn't I? Like, it's, I shouldn't even have a platform. I don't even know how this happened. I'm like, if I can use it for this, like, I'm really happy to do that. So it's been awesome to see that. And it's been awesome to see that also people are willing to support it, and that like people in the rugby community have been happy to, you know, stand behind the cause. And I'm just really happy, yeah, that I'm even here being visible enough to even do something like this. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been great.
Now, looking back at like just in rugby in general, what is your dream for the sport and your involvement with it?
Well, I'm not too old just yet, so there is still some playing I would like to do. You know, playing professionally is great, and I'm, you know, hopefully we'll still do some more of that in the future, but it was never really the goal for me. I really just fell in love with rugby and wanted to keep playing it at the highest level possible. And honestly, I think there is a little bit too much of an obsession with focusing on the top level of the sport. You know, like, most of rugby players is not going to be happening at the professional level. And I think the most beautiful part of rugby is happening outside of the professional level. So I want to just be doing as much grassroots as I can, be it playing a really high level, whether it's professional or not. I'm not too fussed as long as I'm having a good time and I'm still being challenged and, you know, improving as a player. And then really just trying to lean fully into doing public speaking and advocacy, and also being able to spend time with my partner and not being, you know, separated all the time. So I think it's really just opened up all these amazing opportunities that I never really would have thought would have been possible. And, you know, now realizing that people like to hear my voice, that's a nice bonus. So I might lean into that.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You could be narrating audiobooks, Devin. I mean, you have such a great voice. The tone is just fantastic. You should host a podcast.
That has actually been floated before, so stay tuned. There might be some things done with that with Fergus and I potentially in the semi-near future. So we'll see.
Oh. All right, so we are sadly wrapping up here, and we'd like to end on a dose of drama, something to leave our listeners, you know, pointing them in the direction of something to listen to, consume, maybe an Instagram page to follow. Maybe it's That Gay Rugger. Who knows? But anyway, I'm feeling dramatic because I did something that I didn't think I would do this week, which was binge the entire new season of The Handmaid's Tale. And Dylan's going to kill me for talking about this because...
It's okay. It's okay.
You're like, no, we're not talking about it on the pod, but I have to
say, I just think it's really dark.
It is really, really dark, but...
Have you seen it, Devin?
I got through, I think, the first season, and then we started the second season, and I was like, it's too dark. I'm bound out. I'm like, I can't do
so
it.
So dark.
So dark. Well, you know, and finally, in season four, even like halfway through season four, the show is finally allowing itself to change, and I think it used to be a show about... The restrictions and oppressions placed on women in a society not too far from today. And now the show, I think, is growing into like what happens next when maybe you're free from that oppression. And Is it about finding peace? Is it about revenge? Are they more focused on honesty? It's really becoming more interesting to me now than ever. So if y'all have turned The Handmaid's Tale off, I kind of do recommend season 4. And it's a good binge. You can like click through like the boring long things because it was really good. And the acting is still good. And it's really it. But I want to just say season 4 was good. It was solid. I liked it.
I love it. A solid case, Connor. My dose of drama is, since this is like the last episode we're releasing during Pride Month, I'll make it about something queer. And it actually ties in because Devin is friends with former guest and friend of the pod, David Atherton, who recommended we read this book called Shuggie Bane, which is like this Scottish story about a young gay boy growing up and basically taking care of his alcoholic mother. And I read it. It was kind of a dense read, but you know, I always do the dose of drama that the guest recommends because I want to be, you know, loyal to our guests. And I sobbed at the ending. It is so beautiful. And it's a great story about a child's relationship to their parent and, you know, being gay in sort of a different society. And I really do recommend it. It is, like I said, it's a dense read. If you travel a lot, you can read it on planes. It was very good. It's not necessarily a beach read, which I think most people drift to towards the summer, but I now second Shuggie Bane as a dose of drama.
Love it. Devin, do you have a dose of drama to share with us today?
So have you guys been watching Drag Race España?
It's next. We're going to do it next. We only like to do one season at a time because it can be too much, but that is definitely next.
So I've been watching Drag Race España and I am a massive fan, but also part of the dose of drama is Fergus is like a lot less into Drag Race than I am. Like I'm a big fan of Drag Race and I actually introduced him to Drag Race and he finally put his foot down because we watched UK, we watched season 13, we're watching Down Under, and he was like, I'm not watching Drag Race España with you. And I was like, you know what, fine, because now I'll get through the episodes faster. So no worries.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been absolutely loving it. Like the looks they've had on the season, trans representation they've had on the season, like it has just been an awesome season. Very happy to see it. And I also love the host. Like the host is really captivating to me. And it's really cool just seeing how they've like really brought Spanish culture into the show. And yeah, I'm also just really impressed with the queens and just like their makeup and like their looks. Like it's awesome. So definitely you guys don't skip that season because I'm a big fan.
I appreciate the pitch for it because I was feeling a little inundated, but I think it's that either the host or one of the judges is like super hot. It's like this, I don't know if he's like this like model or something over there in Spain, but I don't even know. But I was like, that might be a reason to watch. But then, you know, I was thinking a lot of my favorite queens over the years have been the Latin queens and they haven't really gotten their due. I think the only Latin winner of the main series of Drag Race is Bianca Del Rio.
True.
So
I'm going to watch España.
You should. And yeah, so many of them have been hampered by the fact that they were like, oh, your English really let you down in this challenge. And I'm like, now it's not an issue in Drag Race España. And yeah, the like panel of judges they have is amazing. They're all like really, really knowledgeable. And yeah, I've been very happy with the season so far. So definitely would recommend it.
Does Rue still do like the welcome messages and all that?
No, it's fully okay. Supreme is what her name is, and she's incredible. And did you guys also watch did you watch Drag Race Holland? I really recommend Holland. I actually like really liked a lot of the queens on Holland, and I won't give any spoilers, but one of my favorite queens from the season also ends up having like one of the absolute worst looks that has ever been on the main stage to a very comical degree, and it is worth seeing.
Okay, well, I love that. That's always fun. But then it becomes like camp and it's like legend forever that it's a bad look, you know?
Yeah, especially because they were so good before that as well. It was like one of those things where it's just like, oh, this is an absolute front runner. And then it's just like, oh, wow. That's a tough one to recover from.
I love that. That makes it interesting. Oh my God. Well, Devin, thank you so much for joining us for this closing episode of Pride Month. It's truly been a pleasure to get to meet you and hear your story and see all the good that you're putting out into the world. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really happy that I came on and I would definitely like to come back sometime. Or if you'd like to have Fergus on, let me know. He has done a pod or two in the past.
I hope we can meet you in real life too once you're back over in the States and all is well to connect again.
Yeah, absolutely. Down to Boston. Happy to meet up.
Would love that. All right. Well, of course, everyone should find you on social media. You are That Gay Rugger.
Yeah, thank you. You can find me Instagram, Twitter, all of the platforms pretty much. You can go to TikTok. You'll be disappointed, but it's there.
Okay, well, that's all that matters. And of course, everyone, if you're not already, follow us at The Drama Podcast and me at Dylan McDowell and Connor at Connor McDowell. And Connor, I'll see you next time.
Drama.